Recording has started.
Thank you very much. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everybody. Welcome to the GNSO Council meeting on the 20th of December, 2018. Would you please acknowledge your name when I call it? Thank you ever so much. Pam Little.
Here.
Thank you. Maxima Zoga.
Thank you. Maxima
Zoga. Here.
Ruben's cool.
I noted in chat that he says he's still dialing, so he's on his way.
He's still dialing. Perfect. Thank you, Keith. So, Keith Dravik?
Here.
Thank you. Darcy Sudwell? Darcy, I see you're muted.
Here.
Thank you. Michele Nalan?
Here.
Carlos Gutierrez is on the phone line, I believe, but he has given his proxy to Michele Nalan in case of connectivity issues. Marie Petullo?
Yeah.
Scott McCormick?
He's dialing in according to
Scott is dialing in. Okay, perfect, thank you. Paul McGrady?
Here.
Thank you, Paul. Philippe Foucault?
Yeah.
Rafik Damak?
Here.
Elsa Saad?
Present.
Thank you. Arsene Tungali?
I'm here now, thank you.
Thank you, Arsene. So Arsene will be on the audio bridge only for the duration of the call. Flick Petillon?
Here.
Thank you. Tony Harris is absent, apologies, and has given his proxy to Philippe Foucault. Tatiana Tropina?
Present, thank you.
Martin Silva-Valent?
Here, on Audi Bridge.
Thank you, Martin. Aidan Fedeline?
Present, thank you.
Thank you. Saeed Ismailisha?
Here, yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Sarah Langdonneau?
Still here, thanks, Sarah.
Thank you, Cheryl. Cheryl may experience connectivity issues during the call, but we'll do our best to keep her on. Erica Mann?
Here. Yeah.
Thank you. Yulfa Singh, yes?
I'm here. Can you hear me? I'm here.
Yes, Erica. Erica, so I can hear you loud and clear. Thank you.
Good.
Thank you. And Yulfa, I think I heard you, so thank you. And Adibi Olatipo? I see Adibi in the Adobe Connect room. From staff, we have David Olive, Marika Koenigs, Mary Wong, Julie Headland has sent apologies, Steve Chan, Caitlin Tubigan, Emily Barabas, Barry Cobb, Ariel Liang, Terry Agnew, Sarah Kaptis for technical support, and myself, Matthew Peregrine. I'd like to remind you all to please remember to state your name before speaking for recording purposes. Thank you ever so much, Keith, and it's over to you.
Okay. Thank you very much, Natalie, and good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, everyone, depending where you are. Welcome to the final GNSO Council meeting of the calendar year 2018. December 20th. So let's do a quick update to statements of interest. If anybody has an update to your statement of interest, please raise your hand or speak up. Okay, seeing none. But let's go ahead and review the agenda. If anybody has anything that they would like to add or discuss on the agenda, let's hear it now, but I will very briefly run through our agenda for the day. So we have a review of the projects and action list, and I hope everybody had an opportunity to see the email that I sent out yesterday giving some written updates that I hope will help that part of the agenda go a little bit more quickly. So if you have not yet reviewed that, now might be a good time to take a look at the email that I sent yesterday with that basically says updates for the GNSO Council meeting. Okay. Following the review of the projects and actions list, we will move to our consent agenda, where we have four items on the consent agenda: motion to adopt the GNSO Council response to the GAT communique, motion to approve the nomination of Andrew Mack to serve as the ICANN Fellowship Program Mentor, confirmation of Heather Forrest to serve as the GNSO representative to the Fellowship Program Selection Committee, and confirmation of the leadership for our SSC. Following the consent agenda, we will move to item number four, which is a council discussion of the IGO-INGO access to curative rights protection mechanisms. As I hope everybody has seen, I sent an email to the list earlier today with a proposed path forward on this topic, but I want to underscore that this is not up for a decision at this meeting, but we will have 15 minutes on our agenda today to have a conversation, and then the hope and expectation is that at our January meeting and possibly our February meeting, we'll have more opportunity to discuss this issue and to secure input from the stakeholder groups and constituencies on the path forward, with the hope of having a vote sometime in February or March. Okay. So item number five will be a council update on the EPDP on the temporary specification, and we will turn to Rafiq for that. Item number six will be a council discussion on the ICANN reserve fund topic, to the extent that anybody has something that they would like to raise. Item seven is a council discussion around our PDP 3.0 implementation plan, which is something that has been sent to the list for everybody's review as we head into our strategic planning session at the end of January. Item eight is a discussion on the strategic planning session. And then we have any other business, which will include a touch point on the call for volunteers for the drafting team for the Who is Conflict procedure issue, and then the FY20 draft ICANN operating plan and budget is now posted, and we have next steps for the standing committee on that topic. And then finally, ICANN 64 planning. So that's our agenda for today. Thanks for your patience and me running through it. And would anybody like to suggest an amendment or an addition to the agenda for today? Okay, seeing no hands, let's move on then. So we will have a review. Basically, yes.
Keith, this is Enrique. Sorry to interrupt, but there's a hand up. Please call a little down at the BG as his hand up.
Thank you very much. I missed that. Yes, please go ahead.
I'm so sorry. It was a mistake. I was trying to bundle with the system. So I'm going to just put it back down.
Okay, no problem at all. It's always good to test the functionality, right? And thanks, Marika, for letting me know that there was a hand. As I have said before, sometimes it's hard to keep everything in full view on the screen on the Adobe. So thank you very much. So with no changes to the agenda, let's move on to a review of the action items. And thank you. We're going to pause for a moment while it comes up on the screen. Okay, so let's move right into the discussion of the action items. So first on the list is the council liaisons, and there are still a couple of expressions of interest for the council liaison positions. So I know that just this week, Fleep has expressed an interest in becoming a co-chair along with Elsa on the subsequent procedures work, which is the one of the roles that I had previously jointly with Donna Austin that I'm stepping back from in light of the council chair duties. And I think there may be one or two others that are either open or still in process. Would anybody like to speak up on this one? Oh, and that's right. Thank you, Natalie. Darcy also volunteered yesterday to step up for the IGO Curative Rights Group to the extent that we need to continue engaging there. So thank you, Darcy, and thank you, Cleep. Would anybody like to speak to these issues, or are there anyone else who is interested in volunteering for either these or other liaison slots? I don't see any hands, so I think unless anybody would like to speak up, I think I would welcome then the interest and the appointment of both Fleep and Worth Darcy. And I guess the question for staff, Natalie or Marika, is there anything procedurally that we need to do here? Is this essentially an appointment by acclamation? And Marika is typing, I think, see that we can, typing to me, confirm it in the minutes. So very good. Thank you. Okay, next item is the updated charter for the Cross-Community Engagement Group on Internet Governance. This is an open item that I referred to in my email that was sent this week. And so I laid out my views, my suggested approach, and that would be to, at this time, for the GNSO to not charter or be a chartering organization for this group, but rather that we allow it to proceed in a more ad hoc and informal manner, which would essentially eliminate some of the reporting requirements and expectations and structure that drives some of the demand on resources. And that was one of the reasons the CCNSO decided to not continue as a chartering member, as I understand it, because of concerns about having to contribute resources either directly or through staff. So let me pause there. Would anybody like to speak to this topic? Does anybody feel strongly that the GNSO should at this time become a chartering organization and work on a charter, on approving a charter for this group, or are we okay at this time allowing the group to be more informal? So I see Philippe and Tatiana. Philippe, go ahead.
Thank you, Philippe Foucault here. Yeah, just to confirm the interpretation that you just gave of the CCNSO's approach, and I apologize for not following up for that. I should have done that. And as far as the way forward, I would support what you suggested, Keith. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Philippe. And I have a growing queue. I've got Rafik and Tatiana and Cheryl. Tatiana, you go next, and then Rafik to you, and then to Cheryl.
Thank you, Keith. Actually, I think Rafik was before me, but I have to voice my concerns here. First of all, I never actually understood why the decision of the GNSO to support this group would depend on the decision of CCNSO. If anyone can explain me, I would be more than grateful for this. So this is the first point. I just don't get it. Secondly, I do believe that in a way we have never actually fully considered the consequences, the message we are sending to the community, especially to the GNSO community, by not chartering this group, especially because we are our decision is based on what CCNSO is doing. Then again, I'm back to my first question: why our decision depends on the CCNSO. My third point, I honestly do not understand what kind of resources is actually draining from us. This I would also like to discuss a bit more in length or in full. I do understand that this call and the agenda and the timing does not allow us to really explore these questions, because my impression from the GNSO Council meeting, I don't remember which session it was, in Barcelona, was that we rather were quite supportive, although we were going to liaise with CCNSO on this. So I do believe that in a way, we are coming to the kind of quick of the cuff solution, just in case CCNSO doesn't want to charter, we don't want to charter it either. I'm struggling to understand why. So if I hear good arguments for not chartering as well, I'm fine with this. And it's not because I was the liaison to this group, but I do believe that A, it did have value, and B,
I'm not sure it's really draining resources. So I would like to voice my concern that this decision is just quickly baked, and I do not understand the ground behind it. Thank you.
Thank you, Tatiana. And so I'll respond, and then we'll come to Rafiq. So I should be clear that my recommendation at this time is not dependent upon the CCNSO's decision. In other words, we could certainly agree to become a chartering organization of this cross-community engagement group, along with ALAC, for example, assuming the ALAC would want to continue. But I think so. It's not a dependency. But I do think in this particular instance, if we're having other groups, sort of step away and say that they think it's not necessary, then the cross-community nature of the group is put into question. So I hear what you're saying. I've heard your points, and I certainly agree that I think that the work, as I said in my email, I think the work of this group is actually very important. But it's less clear to me now that it is no longer a CCWG whether a charter is fully necessary. But I'm happy to hear further thoughts on that. And that's one of the reasons I made a suggestion, and that was to get reactions and to have a good conversation about it. So Rafiq, then Cheryl, then Michaeli.
Okay, thank you. So, I think we will have to, anyway, to discuss this in maybe an agenda of the next council meetings. I don't have a position how maybe we should approach this, but think anyway we should have discussion. So I understand this is a proposal for now. We have to weigh in, is it really just a problem of chartering or not? So, also, even if it's an ad hoc structure, I'm just also struggling to see how it can really work, because the whole charting thing, it was to ensure that there is maybe to get that visibility and also to have something that can really talk with the staff, with the world working group, and so on. So something that is not chartered, something that is ad hoc, I'm not sure how it can really work in a cross-community way within ICANN. So we can discuss this maybe in the next meetings and to explore how the different stakeholder group and constituency within GNSO feel about this. So.
Okay. Thanks, Rafiq. I'm happy to set this as an action item for the next call, but I feel like we do need to make a decision in the near future. Cheryl, and then Michaeli, and then we need to move on.
Thank you, Keith, and I apologize for my dog assisting me in this call at this point in time. I won't say what I'm tempted to say, but while I was wanting to point out, and I certainly look forward to whatever the GNSO resolves on this matter, perhaps after the next meeting early next year, the ALAC, of course, did resolve formally to charter this different structure, but it, of course, was expecting to be co-chartering this, whether or not it then falls on the ALAC to continue to be a sole charter of something that will then function in a cross-community with the efficiencies and desirability that Rafiq just outlined, I guess we need to consider. But just to remind you, the ALAC wasn't expecting to be the sole convener. And if it is, that may indeed change it in some way. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Cheryl, for the data point about the fact that ALAC has, in fact, approved its chartering. And so that's very helpful. And I understand that if we're going to have a cross-community engagement group, it seems a bit odd to have a single chartering organization. So thanks for that point. Okay, Michaeli, to you, and then let's move on.
Thanks, Keith. Michaeli, for record.
I'm just a bit surprised by some of the comments from some people on this topic. We've been discussing this for, I would say, at least a year. There was a lot of backwards and forwards around the entire thing. And at this juncture, the fact that as the GNSO Council, us not wanting to be a chartering organization should really be the end of us. I don't understand why we need to discuss this any further. Thanks.
Thanks, Michele. I guess the Cheryl, is that a new hand or an old hand? I think it's an old hand. Thank you. So yeah, Michele. So I guess there's still some open questions about whether we clearly did not support the continuation of a CCWG because it didn't fit the framework requirements for a CCWG. CCWG, I should say. In this case, it's been changed to a cross-community engagement group, which, as Mary has noted in Adobe, doesn't have a requirement for a charter or structure. It's sort of a new thing. But there's still some open questions here, I guess. Michele, back to you.
Thanks, Keith. With all due respect, I have to disagree. I don't think there are any open questions. We've discussed this to death. It's been on our agenda for, as I say, about a year at this stage. If the ALAC want to be the chartering organization, that's fine. As council, if people want to be engaged with us, let them. But I don't understand why we need to have any further conversations around this. I mean, we've discussed this to death, as far as I think there's cruelty to animals. And I think, you know, when the horse is dead and you flogged us, I mean, that's when animal rights people get upset.
Thanks, Michele. All right, let's move on. Next item on the action item list is the IFR team. And this is the IANA functions review team. In my email to the list yesterday, I noted that the council will have an action item likely coming up as it relates to the appointment of a co-chair, that we don't have an action item at this time, probably won't have one until January or February, but that we should at least be aware that there's going to be, you know, a consolidation of the IANA functions review team, and that from the group of membership and participants, there will be the need for the GNSO to appoint a co-chair in cooperation with the CCNSO. So no action at this point, just a heads up to everybody. It's something we'll deal with later. Next item is PDP 3.0. So just a note that this is something that we're going to talk about in our agenda later on in the meeting, and that we'll be discussing at quite some length in the strategic planning session in January. Next item is the Fellowship Program Selection Committee. And let's see. So this is, let me just flip back to my email. Sorry, switching between screens here. So as I noted, we have the FCS appointee. That is on our consent agenda today, and that will be Heather, the Fellowship Selection Committee. So I think that's covered elsewhere in the agenda. If anybody has comments or would like to jump in, put your hand up. All right. Everybody. Okay, next item is the drafting team on the charter related to next steps for ICANN procedures of handling who is conflicts with privacy law. This is one of the AOB items on our agenda today, so we'll talk about that a little bit later. Let's see, scrolling. Sorry, looks ICANN Reserve Fund on our list of topics for today. GNSO response to the GATT communique is on our consent agenda today. Strategic planning session we're going to talk about later on today. And then we have a 15-minute discussion point on IGO, INGO access. And I think that covers most of what we have today for the action items. Is there anything that anybody would like to highlight or point out before we go on to the rest of our agenda? Not seeing any hands. All right, let's move on. So I should note, I missed when we went to the review of projects and action items list, a note in 1.4 of our agenda that the status of the minutes for the previous council meetings were posted per the operating procedures. The minutes for October 24th were posted on the 12th of November, and minutes for the November meeting were posted on the 13th of December. So that's done. I apologize. I missed that. Okay. Anybody like to jump in at this point? Okay. Let's move then to the consent agenda. As I read through the four items earlier, so let me just pause to see if there's anything on today's consent agenda that anyone would like to discuss or remove from the consent agenda. Okay. I am not seeing any hands, not hearing any objections, so let's move forward with the consent agenda. So, Natalie, can I hand this over to you?
Yes, of course. Thank you. Keith, would you like a voice vote or a roll call vote?
I see that Aiden in the Adobe chat has requested a roll call vote, and that's fine by me.
All right, perfect. Thank you. Michaela Nayland for Carlos Gutierrez.
Yes.
Michaela Nayland for yourself.
Yes.
Marie Petullo.
Yeah.
Paul McGrady. Tatiana Tropina.
Sorry?
Are we doing a roll call vote for the consent agenda?
Yes, sorry.
Okay, perfect. Aiden Fedeline?
Thanks. I wish to abstain.
Thank you, Aiden. Would you like to leave a comment as to your abstention?
Yes, I would. Thank you. I have reviewed the Standing Selection Committee mailing list to understand how they have formed their recommendations in relation to Motion 2, and I think it's a stretch to say that the name that they have put forward was a consensus decision, with even one comment on their mailing list stating, I'm slightly amused at declaring a 4-5 result a consensus decision. The comments that they have provided in justifying their decision strike me as insufficient. They have noted that both candidates were extremely qualified and both would be excellent candidates. And the only differing comment was one from the business constituency that noted that the chosen candidate brings a real-world business perspective to policy discussions. But the role of the fellowship program mentor is to represent the entire GMSO, not just one constituency. And so if this is the only differentiator between the two candidates, it's not a justification that I find overly compelling. And I think it's also inaccurate if you look at the CV of the other candidate. I realize it's probably not feasible for one person to represent the entire GMSO as a fellowship program mentor, and the decision to allocate the GMSO just one seat here is well outside of the control of the Standing Selection Committee. But what is within the control of the Standing Selection Committee is to evaluate all of the candidates for the one seat and to provide a valid justification for their decision. And I don't think that happened on this occasion. There were votes that were cast in support of the named candidate with no published justification for how or why their decision was reached. We have just three comments for five votes, and the other candidate who received the remaining four votes received nearly identical comments in support of their application. And so it's for these reasons that the Standing Selection Committee's justification for the candidate they have recommended is lacking, and that is why I'm abstaining. Thank you.
Thank you, Aidan. We will now resume the vote. Rafiq Damak?
Yes.
Thank you. Maxime Azoglou?
Yes.
Thank you. Saad Ismail Shah?
Yes.
Philippe Petillon?
Yes.
Martin Silva Valente?
Hi, I would also like to abstain for the same reasons that Aidan did.
Thank you very much, Martin. This is noted. Arsene Sangali?
Yes.
Philippe Foucault for Anthony Harris?
Yes.
Philippe Foucault for yourself, please?
Yes.
Rubens Corp?
Yes.
Darcy Sadwad?
Yes.
Pam Little?
Yes.
Scott McCormick?
Yes.
Elsa Saad?
And Natalie, I'll also abstain for the voting for the same reasons that Aidan has mentioned.
Thank you, Elsa. And Keith Drazik?
Yes.
Thank you. So with 7 votes in favor for the contracted party house and 10 votes in favor, 3 abstentions for the non-contracted party house, the motion passes with 100% of the contracted party house and 76.92% in the non-contracted party house. Thank you ever so much, Keith, and back to you.
Thank you very much, Natalie, and thanks everybody for your votes and or abstentions and for the reasoning laid out, Aidan. I would suggest that in the future, if we have multiple items on a consent agenda, that if there's one of the motions that's of a concern and where somebody intends to abstain or vote no or want to have a discussion about it, that it would be perfectly reasonable and legitimate to ask for it to be removed from the consent agenda and to be a standalone discussion and separate vote. So just procedurally, I think that's something that we could, we could look forward to. And that way it just keeps the consent agenda a little bit cleaner. So, but thank you. Okay, so thank you very much. We've completed item number 3. And so let's now move to the item number 4, Council discussion of IGO-INGO, Access Security Rights Protection Mechanisms. This is the subject of the email that I sent earlier today. And again, just to reiterate, that because of, obviously the late delivery of that, this is not a subject for any decision today. This is basically an opportunity for us to compare notes and to, have a discussion about how the GNSO Council can move forward on resolving this particular issue for the final report, and I hope everybody has had a chance to review the note that I sent. And I'm going to lean in this conversation also on Pam and Rafiq, as the proposal that we have before us was the result of fairly extensive discussions of the leadership team along with staff, and we'll also rely on Mary Wong as the staff lead on this particular group over many years to provide us some additional context. So if we could put up on the screen the email that I sent. Just give it a moment. So while the document's coming up before us, I think just to refresh everybody's memory, we received the final report from this PDP working group a working group that had been, you know, in progress since 2014, if I have my dates right. So it's basically 4 years running. It had hit a pause at one time while the group went out and got additional information. So this group has been, you know, at work for quite a long time. The report is also the subject of some GAC advice and a letter that we received from Manal, the GAC chair in Barcelona. So there are quite a few moving parts here. And so I just wanted to essentially note that what the leadership team would like to propose for consideration and for further discussion is that we essentially take four actions. One is that the council sends a letter back to the GAC, to Manal, acknowledging the GAC's letter from Barcelona and welcoming further dialogue and any additional information relevant to our deliberations. I think we, as the GNSO, while we don't want to suggest that we are eager to enter into any sort of formal consultation process or anything sort of managed by the board, that we do value open lines of communication and that we want to make sure that we are engaging with the GAC on issues of public policy where the members of the GAC have concerns. Action number one would be to send a letter to the GAC. The next item would be for the council to send a letter to the IGO-INGO-CRP working group, essentially informing the working group of our proposed approach to the five recommendations included in the final report. And then the recommendation is for action number three is in February or March, after a substantial, you know, opportunity for discussion and deliberation and getting input from the stakeholder groups and constituencies, that the council approve recommendations 1 through 4, forwarding them to the board. These recommendations receive consensus support of the PDP working group, and while they do conflict with GAC advice, they don't set new or change existing GNSO consensus policy or make changes to the URS or UDRP. And then at the same time, the GNSO Council would accept recommendation number 5, which is different from approving it, accept recommendation number 5 from the final report and refer it to the RPM PDP working group for further consideration as part of its phase 2 work on UDRP, which is scheduled to begin at the earliest Q4 of 2019. So that is essentially the recommendation. In the notes in the email that I sent, there's some additional thought, context, and essentially the thought process behind taking this approach and recommending this approach. And happy to discuss that further, but I just want to pause there and see if anybody else would like to jump in at this point. And Pam and Rafiq, I certainly welcome your input and your thoughts on this as co-members of the leadership team, but I'd like to certainly hear from others as well. So let me pause there and see if anybody would like to jump in. Okay. Pam, go ahead, and then Rafiq. Thank you.
Thank you. Pam Little speaking. Thank you, Keith. Hi, everyone. All know we as a council have been looking at this topic on and off, and it's subject of GAC advice as in our council review of GAC Barcelona communicate. The leadership, and I would really have to give credit to Keith, since he's taken the leadership role, the GNSO chair role and the council chair role, he obviously has spent an awful lot of time talking to various people, including former chair of GNSO Council and former councillor Susan Calcucci, who was the liaison to this working group, and staff and various people involved in this conversation. So, and then obviously the leadership and staff also had multiple conversations. And it is our view that As happens in a working group, they are always, complex or sometimes complex dynamics. And in our council as a whole, we also have different, we represent different stakeholder groups and constituency and maybe have different perspectives or or position on this. We really feel that the art of the success of a PDP is the willingness to compromise. And we feel this proposed approach also really reflects that spirit of compromise and also respect the PDP process. There are many other members of this working group, except there's some particular individual that might be having a particular position on certain issues. We feel the working group did have members from various stakeholder groups and constituency, and we need to respect their participation in this effort over the last 4 years as well. So we hope this is a balanced approach. It's not going to be perfect or ideal. It's not going to be something that would make everyone happy, but we feel it's probably the most balanced approach at this point in time. So with that, I welcome any thoughts from the councillors. I hope you all have time to take a look at that email Keith just sent before our meeting, and apologies for the short notice as well. But I think this, given that this has been on our agenda for such a long time, I hope you all have some time to think about those previous options that staff, Mary, and Steve have kindly prepared. I think there were six options as potential path forward. We're now trying to narrow down to what we are proposing to do here. Basically, that's just narrowed down to one of those six options. So with that, I will open. Oh, sorry, I'll hand it over to Rafiq.
Okay, thanks, Pam. This is Rafiq speaking. Yes, first I want to say that the thinking behind this is really to keep the council, GNSO Council, in control of the process as the policy manager, and so to show to all, I mean, within the community, that we are. We paid attention to this issue, and we thought enough in how to approach it and to make decision. So it took, I think, enough time, and so we will have to make a decision. As I think it was suggested by February or before. So I think there is no perfect approach or option, and so that this is kind of, to some extent, something I think it's acceptable as it's try to match all the concerns, but to really respect the process, and that's what matter from our standpoint, is really to check that the process was followed in this case. And so I think this gives an opportunity to continue the work and to respond to the concerns with regard to the specific recommendation, while to acknowledge the work that was done by the working group. So I said it's not a perfect, but I think it's something balanced. I hope that we hear from the rest of the council, and to see if this is something that we can move forward. With regard to the first point about having the dialogue and discussion with the GAC, it's also want to highlight that and emphasize that should be really managed by the council in the way that we acknowledge that we need to hear and listen to the concern from the GAC and try to understand them. But I don't think we should expect that any other party to be involved or help for facilitating it. I think it's just dialogue between two groups within ICANN and something that we did before. So I just want to kind of maybe to add something about that that first point. So thanks.
Thank you, Rafiq. And so let's just keep moving through the queue. I have Paul McGrady and Marie Petullo. Paul?
Thank you. Paul McGrady here. And first of all, I'd like to say thank you to the leadership team for taking a look at this and coming back to the council with something concrete for us to discuss. I think that's super helpful and, you know, a way for, you know, for council to sort of get its arms around what the problem is instead of just having a big problem. We've got a big problem with a proposed solution, and I think that's better. All that said, of course, I just don't know what the solution does because it doesn't advance the ball, as far as I can see, in any way on the issues that the GAC was concerned about initially. I'm a little concerned that it doesn't really, you know, all it will be viewed as is us dodging the issue, essentially having done a PDP that didn't address the concerns. We don't have any other plans for a, you know, a new PDP to actually address the concerns as part of this. We have referral of a fairly controversial amendment to the UDRP that would go to a different PDP, and I'm afraid that even if we accept that proposal, recommendation 5, that will give it more credence than it deserves. We also have a fairly dysfunctional PDP working group. You know, we can dig back through the record, but I don't think anybody's particularly fond of how this particular PDP turned out, the personal dynamics, the narrowness of the working group. I sort of feel like a Bears fan. I'm tempted to double down and just go along because, you know, even though we keep making mistakes, we like to stick with it. But this particular PDP just didn't do its job, the recommendations really aren't fit for purpose. So I would prefer that we acknowledge that, go back, take a look at the charter, figure out what went wrong, and try again. At least that way we can tell the GAC, you know, it didn't work and we're trying again. Right now, I don't know what the message is to the GAC other than we did a PDP, we came up with 4 recommendations that don't help you. We got a 5th one that's really kooky, and we forward that on to a different PDP. If I remember the GAC and I was waiting for some sort of outcome here, I wouldn't view this as anything helpful at all. So anyways, that's 2 cents worth, and I know we're not voting today, so it's a day to talk, and I'm happy to, you know, answer any questions if people have those and just, you know, see where the conversation leads. Thanks.
Thanks very much, Paul. This is Keith for the transcript, and very much appreciate your views and your feedback and your input on the proposal that we've put forward. I think, you know, as I think both Pam and Rafiq mentioned, you know, there is no perfect solution to this one. And what we've tried to do is to come up with, something that, you know, that addresses as much of the concerns as possible. I mean, I think what you've suggested is essentially to say, you know, let's just reject all the recommendations and go back and recharter the group or start over with a new group. But I think there are some concerns about doing that. If we look back at process, if we look back at the GNSO's operating procedures for PDPs, the webinar that we held as a council several months ago, where we set out certain questions and, you know, used those questions to determine whether process had been followed. I mean, I think there's a real challenge with simply at this time saying, no, the group failed, because frankly, it's probably more likely that it was, that the group was failed for lack of, you know, I guess I'm just going to be blunt about it, and this is not in any way personal. But for lack of sort of management and leadership from the council. And I think our PDP 3.0 work is very instructive, and that this, this
this PDP working group may have been a case study in where we could have and should have applied some of the things that we're working on in PDP 3.0. But that all said, the group worked for, you know, it worked on its you know, on the substance, and by all accounts, it followed its process and procedure. Yes, it was a very narrow group in terms of participation, not fully representative of all of the stakeholder groups and constituencies. But I think as we look at the, you know, the possibility of just saying no, we've got some procedural concerns there. At least that's the conversation that we had at the leadership level and also with staff. So let's go to Marie, and then I'm going to turn to Mary Wong for her views and input or anything that she'd like to add as the longtime staff sufferer in support of this group. So, Marie, over to you.
Thanks, Keith. This is Marie Patello, and I'm conscious of time, so I will keep it as short as I can. In essence, I agree with Paul. I'm concerned that the PDP, the IGO PDP, didn't actually deliver on what we asked them to deliver, in that nobody ever asked them to look at reducing protections of IGOs by NGOs. Recommendation 5 is clearly the most of concern, and backing it over to the RPM working group, a lot of the same people and those that have concerns or had concerns in the IGO-INGO PDP are going to be the same, are the same people in the RPM PDP. I'm not sure what practical result that's going to have if we are looking to protect charities and people that donate to charities from being scammed, which, when we come right down to it, is what this PDP is about, was supposed to be about. So while I really do support the idea of compromise, I agree with you, Pam, completely that we had people in that PDP from all over the community, and yes, we should thank them for their work. We do need to be moving forward to something that works for the community as a whole, including the charities and the people who donate to the charities. And I'm just not completely convinced that backing Recommendation 5 to the RPM working group is going to be that successful, but I do thank all of you for all the work you put into this. Thanks.
Thanks very much, Marie. So let's turn to Mary now, and then we probably need to, in the interest of time, start to look to move on. But this is, as I said at the outset, this is an important topic, something that we need to resolve and make in terms of a decision in the coming months. But this is just the beginning of the conversation about this proposal or potential alternatives. So, Mary, over to you.
Thanks, Keith. Hi, everybody. This is Mary from staff. From the staff side, we don't have much to add. It seems to us that Keith's note and the explanation that he, Pam, and Rafiq gave today pretty much encapsulate what the discussions or the most recent discussion in, and we are just very happy that we were able to offer them assistance in reaching this proposal. So I'll just add two things. One is that the backdrop or the background to this issue that Recommendation 5 tries to deal with is a long background. There have been multilateral discussions dating back to the early 2000s or before, where this particular question arose in a multilateral context, i.e. outside ICANN land. A lot of that material was considered during the issue report and the initial phases of this PDP. So I'll just say that no matter which group you use to discuss this issue to try and come up with a workable policy, they will have to grapple with some very difficult, longstanding historical context and a legally complex issue. The other thing that I'll note here for the record just is that while for this PDP, they were charted to deal with an issue of curative rights, and here I'll note some comments in the chat by a few councillors. there was the previous PDP run in the GNSO where there are still some outstanding recommendations the board has yet to act on. So in respect of today's discussion, I think the relevant point there is that unless and until the IGO issue is settled, then the interim protections that the board approved for second-level protection for IGO acronyms will remain in place. So while that should not necessarily put undue pressure on you, it simply is another point of information in terms of background as you decide which is the best way forward. Thank you, Keith.
Great. Thanks very much, Mary. And I appreciate your words of wisdom here and your input. Paul, I see is that a new hand? Go right ahead.
Thanks, Keith. Yes, Paul McGrady here, a new hand. So a follow-up question for Mary. So what happens if we approve four and accept one and do what's been proposed here? Those go to the board. If the board approves the four, do the interim protections then go away? Because that's sort of worse than doing nothing if the protections that are currently in place on a temporary basis fail because we move this forward. Thanks.
Mary, I think that was a question back to you. Go ahead.
Yes, it was. I just wasn't sure if I should start speaking. Thank you, Keith, and thank you, Paul, for the question. So the answer to your question is that staff cannot answer that question right now because that is a decision for the board. As you know, and perhaps one of the reasons for your question, Paul, is that the board has indicated previously that they would like to make a final decision based on everything being passed up to them, including resolution of this curative rights PDP. So my sense is, and please be assured that I have not discussed this with, you know, board support or my colleagues that do this work on the board side, it will depend on whether the board feels comfortable acting on the outstanding recommendations and thereby, you know, removing the interim protections when they receive a package from the GNSO Council along the lines of this proposal. As Keith said, the current RECs 4, 3, 2, and 1 do not change existing policy. They do not set new policy, but in some respects, they are in conflict with GAC advice. To staff, the one, I guess, substantive point where the conflict is evident is that the GAC had recommended, the nominal cost to use these procedures for IGOs, and the recommendation 4 in this group had basically said this is outside our ambit, it's something that for the board and ICANN org to discuss. So, like I said, I think the answer to your question, Paul, depends on how comfortable the board feels not waiting for a resolution on what is admittedly probably the most complex and difficult issue on immunity.
Thanks very much, Mary. Very helpful. Paul, do you want to come back in, or is that good enough for now?
Good enough for now.
All right. Very good. Okay. Before we move on, any other final thoughts on this particular point? And again, just to reiterate, no decisions now, no decisions necessarily at our next meeting, but this is something that we really do need to drive forward on. And at some point, it might make sense to create a small group or a small team or something like that to help shepherd this through. In coordination with the leadership team, you know, happy to consider any options. Okay, I don't see any other hands, so then let us move on now to item number 5, which is a council update on the EPDP on the temp spec. So, Rafiq, at this time, I will hand it over to you. Thank you.
Hey, thanks, Keith. It's Rafiq speaking. So in terms of update, since the last GNSO Council meeting in November, so we had a few as the EPDP team is waiting for the end of the public comment period to review the input from the community
And just as a reminder, the deadline is this Friday. And I think just now left maybe over 24 hours before the deadline. So in meantime, the EPDP team continued discussing some items, and in fact to go through some outstanding items, try to make some progress. While it's acknowledged that it has to wait for more guidance and input from the community to help to finalize the recommendation if they are related to those items. But on the other hand, there was discussion about sending the letter to the European Data Protection Board. And after several points made by the different representatives of the EPDP team, it was decided to put on hold this letter because it was not deemed that it will be useful for now, but maybe to send it later when we can work out our questions and having the final report. And on that, a letter from Kurt and myself will be sent in the coming hours to the Genesis Council list to explain the reason behind putting on hold this letter. And this is also taking into consideration the comment that was made in the last council meeting. On the other hand, we also had discussion about getting legal counsel support, and we made progress on that regard. Is that we started the process by having what we call a legal team or legal committee, which is following the approach or the process that was made in the CCWG Workstream 2. And this is it's kind of the learning from that experience in a way to try to control the cost and spending in relation to getting the legal counsel, but also in a way how we can ask the questions to refine them and the EPDP team as a whole will work on the question, and that just small team with the representative across the different groups within the team to refine the question to make them kind of understandable for the legal counsel. So we started already that, and now we have that team will have a weekly call, and we hope that we will make a progress in terms of agreeing and finding a legal firm, and also to that we also count in the procurement process within ICANN to get that done quickly. So also in terms of planning, we will have the face-to-face meeting in Toronto. I think that will be, if I'm not mistaken, in the third week of January, and we have a lot of expectation from that face-to-face meeting, where we will also have the facilitator, the CPI people that we got, or we used the service in Barcelona meeting and the face-to-face meeting in LA. So the EPDP team has now few weeks left till our deadline of the 1st February, and the support team and leadership team will work on preparing for the compilation of all the comments received, submitted by the community, and to prepare comments tool and so on. So we still the work will be ongoing at least for some part from the coming days, so we can continue the work toward the final report. So I know that we have short time left, and there are still some items that we are not reaching yet an agreement, but there is hope that input received in the public comment can help us. So that's the situation for now, and I'm happy to answer any question or comment from the council. So thanks.
Hey, thank you very much, Rafiq. Thanks for the good update. And would anybody like to get in the queue and ask any questions or anything, any further discussion on the EPDP? So I guess then, Rafiq, I think this is a question that I posed on our last call, and it's looking ahead as we end up finalizing our planning for ICANN 64. I'm sort of curious in terms of timing where the EPDP group will be once we get to Kobe. And I know the hope and the expectation in terms of timing is that the final report, the first final report will be complete, and that ideally conversations will be taking place around the access model and the other work of the EPDP. But I am just sort of curious if you think that, the group is on track and likely to hit those milestones, or do we need to be thinking about allocating time in Kobe for the EPDP to focus on this first phase of the temp spec?
Okay, thanks, Keith. So first, in terms of logistics, I think we have now several placeholder meeting for Kobe for the EPDP. So that's kind of decision we made at the leadership team. So we are expecting, and we should work at that time on the access on phase two. In terms of work plan, that's something that need to be done. It's in our to-do list, and we acknowledge that it should be done as soon as possible. So hope that we will work with the support staff to get that done and to share it with Chinaso Council to show but also to the EPDP team what we are expecting. Just after the final report. So it's in our radar. I don't have something tangible to share yet, but this, I think the expectation is that by the time of Kobe meeting, we already started working on phase two. I hope that it answers your question, or if I'm not missing, I mean, maybe if you wanted to clarify about other part.
Thanks, Rafiq. That's helpful. I think that responded to the question. So I guess at this point, I don't see any other hands, just two other sort of bits of information or action items. Just a reminder to everybody that the public comment period is closing, as Rafiq noted, in the next 24 hours. So obviously it's crunch time for the comments on the EPDP initial report. And then the next action item is just a reminder that we received a letter from the ICANN board from Shireen asking us as the council, essentially for an update on the initial report, which is now obviously posted and out for public comment. And then secondarily, asking us for our view on a backup plan or a plan B in the event the EPDP working group is unable to complete and make consensus recommendations in a final report within the time frame required for the expiration or dictated by the expiration of the temporary specification in May. And I think the follow-up to that is not just if it's unable to deliver a final report, but what if there are implementation requirements that might take longer than the May 2019 deadline gives us. In other words, what is the backup if we don't have a consensus policy in place to replace the temporary specification? Is there a stopgap? So the council leadership working with staff is working on a draft response to that we will share on the list. But I just wanted to make sure that everybody understood that's an action item that we have as a council and that we need to address. So any further conversation or discussion around the EPDP?
Checking Adobe. I don't see any hands, so let us move on then. Thank you. Thank you, Rafiq. So next item is item number 6, Council discussion on the ICANN Reserve Fund. Let me just sort of set the table on this one. Just a reminder that when we were in Barcelona, the ICANN board passed a resolution both basically taking funds out of the operating fund and also out of the auction proceeds fund to replenish the reserve fund. And so around the same time, we're discussing the possibility of comments on the initial report of the CCWG auction proceeds, but that's a separate issue. And so essentially, in Barcelona, it was agreed in our wrap-up session that the stakeholder groups and constituencies basically had the lead if they wanted to make any statements or, you know, take any positions as it relates to the board's resolution, and that we as a council would, you know, have an opportunity to touch base on it to see if there was any desire or consensus among the various stakeholder groups and constituencies to do anything, whether it was write a letter or you know, whatever the range of options might be. We didn't get to this in our last call because we ran out of time. So I wanted to make sure that we as a council didn't just let it go, that we have the opportunity to compare notes, to report out on what our respective groups are doing or thinking about this. And if there's nothing that anybody wants to do or say, or if the stakeholder groups and constituencies are essentially quiet on the matter, we'll just move on and take this off of our action item list. So let me pause there. And Erica, thank you very much. Over to you.
Thank you, Keith. I just want to make a few points because we discussed the topic various times in the auction proceed group. It's not our role actually to take a decision about this, and insofar it came up because the auction proceed budget was targeted by the board action, and so I want to raise a few points which I believe, and I'm not talking, it's not my role again to talk for any constituency group, but I just want to make a few comments. So I believe it's important to notice that the board, in all the comments, in the various comments the board made about this topic, clearly stated that it's the guardian of the fiduciary duties of the organization. And on insofar, it, I believe the board will very likely keep this role and will not make any commitment which would practically totally separate any kind of budget out of the control of the board. So that's something I believe that the GNSO constituencies need to consider. And I don't have an answer to this, but I believe it's an important point to look at. The second one, I believe it's not relevant any longer to talk about what happened concerning the auction proceeds. And again, it's not my role as the co-chair to make a comment about this neither. My third point is that I still believe it would be helpful from the GNSO to send some kind of guidance, some kind of principles. Maybe these two words are not the right one, but something to the board which reflects upon the GNSO opinion concerning the replenishment of reserve fund. And I think it can be very factual, just stating the most obvious point, which are conflictual, like, for example, that any kind of replenishment from the from any kind of money outside of the operational budget shall not be used for operational purposes. It's a very simple one, but I believe it would have a strong impact, and it would tighten control on the operational budget, and on the other side, it would not allow, or I want to be careful here, it still would allow, based on the principle the board established in overseeing the all of the budget, separate budget lines. So the board would still have, in principle, access to any kind of separate budget lines, which are separate from the operational budget, but it would still give some guidance what the GNSO would not like to see happening. And I believe this would be something good. So these are a little bit long, Keith, but these are my thoughts, and I'm happy to provide some help and some guidance how to set up such kind of principles.
Thanks very much, Erica. Very helpful, and I'd like to get reaction from other counselors about Erica's comments and recommendations. And really, I'd like to get a sense as to where the stakeholder groups and constituencies are on this generally. So, Paul, go right ahead. Thank you.
Thanks, Paul McGrady here. So we had a chance to discuss this on the list, IPC list, and the bottom line is there's a couple of things that we think really are not great about this thing that the board did. The first one is that there was assurances both in the guidebook and repeatedly, I believe, by Steve Crocker, and I think we can go find those in the various records, where the board consistently said that this money wasn't meant to go to ICANN operations, that it really was to be set aside for other things. And so to do a 180, especially without notice, is not great for the board's reputation. We don't think it's great for, being able to rely on future guidebooks for about anything. It just was a bad idea. The second concern that we had is that it really undermines the cross-community working group's efforts here. Why have one if the board can just grab the money and do what they want with it? Why is everybody wasting their time? And I think that's a really important question to ask. And then lastly, we think it's a bad idea because all it does is prove, unfortunately, that all the efforts to develop all these additional mechanisms to hold the board in check so that it doesn't do things like this, grabbing $36 million on a surprise basis out of a fund that was supposed to be set aside, just really haven't worked. The accountability mechanisms were designed to at least give the board pause. When the U.S. government announced that it would not be renewing its contract with ICANN, the first thing the community did, and I believe it was London, is come together and demand more accountability mechanisms. And ironically, it sounds like the board is saying that this $36 million, which it grabbed, was money that were spent on attempting to develop accountability mechanisms that obviously did not go far enough. So I just think I don't think we should just sit quietly by and let the board get away with it. At a minimum, I would like to see the council write a letter to the board setting forth our concerns about them doing this, encouraging them to return the money, and encouraging them to commit not to do it again. And I don't think that that's unreasonable given the particular facts here. And as Erica says, they probably won't do it, but at least we didn't sit in quiet, submission while they did it. So if there's any appetite for such a letter, I would be happy to be on the drafting team and even to take the pen on the first draft. Thanks.
Thanks, Paul. If anybody else would like to get in the queue and share your thoughts and views, please do. I do want to point out, though, that while, the resolution that the board passed wasn't, published well in advance or much in advance or in advance, they did go through, the ICANN did go through a process, as I recall, and I'll look to staff to correct me if I get any of this wrong. They did go through a process of seeking public input and comment on the reserve fund issue. Okay, so basically the topic of replenishing the reserve fund was the subject of outreach to the community, and the community provided feedback. And some of the community, I don't know what the percentage was or majority or not, did actually recommend that the auction proceeds fund could be a source for the replenishment of the reserve fund. So it's not like, in my view and in my understanding, this was simply done
out of the blue. But I can understand some of the concerns that have been raised. I just think we need to keep this in the context of the work that actually was done through process and procedure to seek public comment and to, you know, assess what the options are for the action that the board took. So let me pause there. Michaela, you're next in queue. Go right ahead.
Thanks, Keith. I don't know if you can hear me properly or not. Michaela, for record. I generally don't agree with Paul McGrady on many things, but in this instance, I find myself having to agree with him. I mean, there are concerns that some of us have around how this played out. And I would also be very cautious about us fixating too much on the kind of the quote unquote process side of things. I mean, the reality is, auction proceeds for many people involved, be they applicants, existing registrars, registries, or other parties, nobody imagined or thought that the auction proceeds were going to be used to refill ICANN's coffers. There's been a lot of discussion about ways that those auction proceeds could be used. There's been discussions about potentially giving money to applicants. There's a whole range of different conversations there. It does set a quite troubling precedent. And while ICANN may be within its rights to do so, that doesn't mean it's the right thing to do. And that's just my own personal view, not speaking on behalf of the registrar stakeholder group that hasn't actually taken a firm stance on this topic. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks very much, Michaela. And there's been some active conversation in the Adobe chat on this one as well. So refer people there. Feel free to put up your hand if you'd like to speak to this topic. I think this is a conversation we need to continue to have and get a sense or a temperature of the room about whether this is something the council needs to weigh in on or whether this is something better handled at the individual stakeholder group and constituency level in terms of a communication. I think we just need to make sure that whatever we put forward is, of course, factual and includes, you know, the various dynamics that led to this decision. I take Erica's point to heart, though, that I think that looking forward, it might make sense to establish some guardrails or principles, I think is what the word I heard Erica use. I certainly would, you know, wouldn't be opposed to putting some markers down. But let's, in the interest of time, let's draw a line under this conversation and suggest that we continue it. But I really do want to make sure that before we, you know, start going through a drafting process and getting expectations up, that we have, sort of input and feedback from all the various, you know, counselors as to whether that's something that they would like to support or not. So with that, let us move on. I don't see any other hands. And so the next item is the item number 7, council discussion on the policy the PDP 3.0 implementation plan. And I will take this opportunity to warn staff that I may turn to them for some help as we go through this. We don't have a tremendous amount of time allocated, and it's a fairly detailed document. But I think what I want to call out here is that this implementation plan is now before us. It is basically the product of the leadership team and ICANN staff working over the last, you know, probably month and a half to try to develop what would be a path forward in terms of implementing the excellent work that took place in 2018 on PDP 3.0. So this has been shared with council on the list, and it will be a topic of significant discussion and substantial discussion in Los Angeles at our face-to-face meeting. So I really do want to call your attention to this and ask you to spend some time going through it and reading it and providing feedback to us so we can sort of tighten this up and make sure that we're all on the same page going into January and beyond. So let me pause there to see if anybody has any comments or questions. And I've got some background noise, I apologize. So let me pause there. And anybody, Marika or Natalie or anybody from staff want to jump in on this, feel free to to comment at this point, too.
Yeah, thanks, Keith. This is Rick. I put my hand up and jump on the occasion to provide a little bit of additional input and maybe ask from the council here, because it's of course closely tied to the next item on the agenda, which is the strategic planning session. And so, as you know, there are a couple of items that are proposed to be further discussed in January during the strategic planning session. And as such, specific next steps have been identified, a couple of which are our staff action items to prepare materials to help inform that conversation. So we would like to ask you as a priority to review those items, and if you have any concerns about what is being proposed, to flag that as soon as possible, as obviously staff will need some time to pull that all together before the January session. For a number of the other items, you know, we have put in proposed timings as well as you know, suggestions for who may be responsible for kind of driving the item. Of course, the timing of which is dependent on both staff and community council leadership availability to move those items forward. So you may see adjustments to this plan over time. As noted, the way that the implementation plan is set up, that the first column refers to the actual improvement, and of course this needs to be reviewed in the context of the final report that has further details in relation to what is trying to be achieved with these different improvements. Then covers the objective and description from that report itself, and the final report also included possible implementation steps. And those have been used as a kind of basis and further fleshed out in the proposed next steps column. So again, we were really encouraged to review those and make sure that those proposed next steps align with the conversations the council has had to date. And there may be other ideas or suggestions that may need to be further explored. But again, this is a first draft that's on the table, and we look very much forward to receiving your feedback on.
Excellent. Thank you, Marika, and thank you so much for all your work on this as well. And so would anybody like to get in the queue at this time to talk about this document, the PDP 3.0 implementation plan? Any questions that you might have? Okay, I don't see any hands going up, so we might be picking up some time. So let me then draw a line under this, and again, this is just a call for action. Find some time in the next, week or so. I know we're approaching holiday season for many, but the sooner you can provide feedback to us and to Marika, the better off we'll be heading into the January meeting. So please, please, please review this and provide some feedback if you have any. So I'll draw a line under that, and then I saw in chat, I missed it earlier, apologies, Paul, and plus one by McKaylee, which we can never ignore, that Paul has asked if we could get a sense of the room now as it relates to a letter from the council on the previous topic, which was the auction proceeds money having been used for the replenishment of the reserve fund. So, McKaylee, I see a hand. Go right ahead.
Maybe just put that on the mailing list. Might be more useful than trying to litigate it here.
Yeah, that's fine. And I think my sense coming out of the last conversation was that, I was asking people to get back with their stakeholder groups and constituencies and, come back to us with an indication. So I will do that, take an action item to put it out on the list. So thanks, McKaylee. Okay, so then let's jump forward again to item number eight, which is the council discussion for the strategic planning session, which, as we know, will be taking place the third week in January in Los Angeles at ICANN's offices. And while we're getting the documentation on the screen, this is a reminder, a stern reminder for everybody who has not yet completed their travel arrangements to do so. We need to wrap that up. So if you have anything outstanding as it relates to ICANN travel support, please get it done. Thank you. Okay, so what we have before us is the draft agenda for the strategic planning session that will take place over the course of essentially 3 days. That includes the January council meeting. This has also been shared with the list. So this has been circulated, and I'm just going to pause and, I'm not going to pause. I'm just going to note that I think those of us who were fortunate enough to have participated in the strategic planning session in 2018 got a lot of value out of it and thought that it was pretty well structured. And so we didn't make a whole lot of changes in terms of the order of events. There were some things that we had to adjust, but we basically wanted to replicate or emulate what we did a year ago at that time, and to adjust it clearly for substance as it relates to issues that we have before us going into 2019, and clearly the implementation of the PDP 3.0 work from 2018 is going to be the evolution of that topic. So I think that's all very positive. So let me pause here and ask if anybody has any initial feedback, any initial thoughts. I see Darcy has asked a question about the possible gap on day three for an hour's time. So there may be some things that we need to edit. But let me just pause there and see if anybody would like to speak up and have any feedback or questions for leadership team and staff as we've tried to pull together this agenda. Okay, and if anybody from staff would like to jump in and make any comments, you're more than welcome as well. Okay, I don't see any hands at this time. So I think we have enough time to actually sort of walk through this very briefly. So Marie's asking a good question, and are we going to have a facilitator? And the answer is it may not be exactly as we had and used Jonathan, but James Bladle is going to join us for the strategic planning session as a past council chair. So I think that he's looking forward to it. We're looking forward to having him back amongst us, for those of us who had the chance to work with him on council, and so we will. And at this time, we expect that we're going to have, at a minimum, participation from the GNSO-appointed board members. So Becky and Matthew will be with us for, should be the entire time, unless they have a conflict with some board obligations. But the expectation is that they will be with us at a minimum. And then we will have some other interaction with the ICANN board as a whole, I believe, over lunch. There you have it at 12 o'clock on day three. We'll have some other opportunities for interaction with ICANN staff and some of the folks that we don't always get to deal with on a regular basis. So let me pause there. Any questions or comments? Okay, I heard a microphone open. Would anybody like to jump in?
Hi, Keith. It's me, Pam Little.
Hi, Pam. Yep, Pam, go right ahead. Thanks so much.
Okay. I just want to add to what you already said, that really this is our very important event of the year, sort of set us up for the success of our 2019 work, if you like. So the leadership team has worked with staff to come up with this draft proposed agenda. But we also welcome your input. Really, this is our event, and we should own it collectively. So if you feel you as a new councillor or liaison or whatever role you have within the council, there's any particular need or topic you would like to propose or add or change, please feel free to do so. And we can do that through the mailing list. I personally feel we don't, as a council, seem to fully utilize our mailing list as a communication or progressive work a lot. But we encourage everyone to do that. And also, we are thinking about making this sort of more interactive, and maybe some of our councillors be the facilitator of a particular session. If you are interested in, or you think you have the expertise to lead a particular session, I think it would be really good to have volunteers for those as well. That's all from me, Keith. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Pam. That's very helpful, and agree completely. So, this is an opportunity. The strategic planning session is sort of accomplished as a multiple things. One is it gives us the opportunity to interact in a sort of a concentrated way with one another, to get to know each other better individually, and to work together as a group outside of the pressures that exist in a typical ICANN meeting, and of course with our monthly calls typically on the phone or on the over the internet. So it's great in that regard. It also gives us as counselors the opportunity to sort of to level set in terms of our understanding of the history of the council, sort of the roles and responsibilities, the operating procedures, expectations for us, of us, and some of the roles that we have. I thought one of the things that came out of last year's SPS was, good discussion about the role of liaisons, and that was one of the things that was obviously incorporated into the PDP 3.0 work. And so it gives us the opportunity to get more in-depth as we talk about things related to the council's role and responsibility of managing policy development. And of course, it also is our face-to-face council meeting, where we'll have our typical agenda, but also some opportunities to really talk a little bit more about some substantive issues if needed, to interact with board members, to interact with staff in a slightly more relaxed setting than what we have at the typical ICANN meeting. So that's sort of for the newcomers and folks who weren't able to participate last year, that's sort of my take on that. And so thank you, Pam. Would anybody else like to jump in at this point? Just check Adobe. No hands. Okay. So please, everybody, action item, review the agenda. Let us know if you have any comments or questions. Let's move on. We are at item number 9, any other business. And we have 3 items there. Okay, the first is an update just briefly on the ICANN procedure for the handling WHOIS conflicts with privacy law. This is the implementation advisory group, where we had previously indicated that we would consider a call for volunteers at the posting or publishing of the initial report from the EPDP. We're now deciding that that's going to take place at the posting of the final report. So, hold on one sec, excuse me. All right, just had a cough. Essentially, we need to be able to, as a council, assess whether the final report and any consensus policy recommendations from the EPDP will or will not have an impact on this particular this particular project and the implementation advisory group that we are basically required to call volunteers for a drafting team. So that's the update on that one. We're basically pushing the date for a decision or consideration from the publication of the initial report of the EPDP to the publication of the final report. So any comments or questions on this one? Okay, I don't see any hands. Scrolling up, scrolling down. All right, let's move on then. Any other business? Item number 2 is just a note that the FY20 draft ICANN operating plan and budget it has been posted, and we have some next steps for the standing selection committee, the standing committee on ICANN's budget and operations. So, Aidan, I don't know if this is something that you'd like to speak to, or if anybody from staff would like to jump in.
Hi, Keith. This is Aidan. I'm happy to comment briefly. So earlier this week, on Monday, I believe, the various budget documents were published. And in advance of this, the Assembly on Budget and Operations scheduled our next call, which will be on Monday, January 7th. During this time, we will be clarifying and agreeing on a timeline for the development of our comment that we will be recommending that the Council adopt. We'll be reviewing the key activities and projects document that was published to understand any potential implications for the GNSO. And we'll also be hoping to offer some preliminary identifications of line items within the budget that could have some implications for the GNSO that need to be discussed further, and where we might need to seek some clarification from the finance team. We have also scheduled future calls for the 14th and the 21st of January. And so our hope is that we will have a draft comment for the Council to review by January 21st at the latest. And that would be, from memory, I think it is February 4th, or it might be 1 week later, which is the final deadline for the submissions of comments on the proposed fiscal year 2020 operating plan and budget. And so the intent of the standing of the SCBO is to give the Council at least 2 weeks to be able to review the comment that we have prepared and to allow for final wordsmithing and clarifications. So our next call is the 7th of January, and on that call we will be clarifying and agreeing on our timeline. If there is any changes to what I've said, I'll be sure to send an email to the Council mailing list to keep you updated there. I'm just reviewing the chat now. I see Barry has clarified that the comment closes on February 8th. Sorry, Paul, if I'm difficult to hear. Thanks.
Thanks very much, Aidan. Much appreciated, and thanks again for your helping to guide this group. Rafiq, I see your hand. Go ahead.
Hey, thanks, and thanks, Aidan, for the update. I just noticed a few minutes ago that, in fact, there is another public comment that maybe the SCBU need to cover, which is the ICANN strategic plan for fiscal year 2021-2025. So I'm not sure how much it's maybe relevant to the SCBO, but it's something maybe we need to cover or not as a council. So something just to put on the radar, and since we are in any other business, so maybe we can give guidance to the SCBO quickly.
Okay. Thank you, Rafiq. Would anybody else like to jump in on this one? Okay. I don't see any hands. So it sounds like we have a plan in place there. Let's go ahead and move on then. Final item on our agenda under any other business is ICANN 64 planning. So, yes, it is just around the corner, I think, as we all know. And that we need to, basically work towards finalizing our planning for the council sessions and the various PDP work that needs to go on. The council leadership and staff met a couple of weeks ago, I believe it was, to sort of review and finalize the agenda. Natalie helped us sort of get through that with the council. It was council leadership, staff, and the PDP chairs to go through and make sure that the schedule, sort of was logical and didn't have any unavoidable overlaps and conflicts. It's always a challenge, as we know. So, Natalie, can I turn to you at this time and help just walk through this one and flag anything that you think would be helpful for council at this point?
Thank you very much, Keith. Happy to do so. For those of you paying close attention to schedules one, ICANN meeting to another, you'll notice that the PDP slots, so in red, are really very similar to the ones we had in Barcelona. It seemed to be a good fit, and the PDP chairs were very happy to carry this across. The only thing missing here really is the confirmation of a high-interest topic and cross-community topics that the decision will be made early January regarding this. So obviously in terms of potential classes or or on the contrary, slots which become available because of maybe a lack of interest from one group in cross-community or high-interest topics, the schedule may change just a tiny bit. Other than that, it should pretty much stay put. The one thing that is different, and this is not necessarily regarding the schedule in Kobe, it's regarding the general organization, and I really need more people to be aware of that, is that there is no flexibility whatsoever with this venue. So it's a pretty good venue from what meetings team have told us. They're very happy with it. But regarding catering decisions, regarding room changes, additional meeting schedules, additional equipment, etc., there will be no leeway whatsoever. So it's very important that if you do have questions, and I will make sure we circulate or have this schedule post on the GNSO website on the draft page, if you do want to have a look at it. It's very important that come early January, the first or second week of January, very latest, if you do have questions about the sessions you're hosting or taking part in, you need to make sure we know about it as soon as possible. Otherwise, regarding this, I'd like to say that regarding the council social event, Rafiq has kindly offered to sponsor it. And I know he's working pretty hard with a lot of options unknown to me, so I'm unfortunately of very little help on that matter. So thank you very much, Rafiq, for taking this on. Any questions, any comments regarding ICANN 64?
Okay. Thanks very much, Natalie. Any questions or comments? Anybody have any thoughts about Kobe that they'd like to share at this point? I don't see any hands. It looks to me like people would like 10 minutes back of their morning, afternoon, or evening because we've reached the end of our agenda. So let me pause and ask then if there's any other business that anybody would like to raise, anything else to discuss today. You know, staff, feel free to jump in. Marika, I see your hand. Go right ahead.
Yeah, thanks, Keith. This is Marika. I just wanted to flag, someone just noted public comment period's open. Another one opened earlier this week on operating standards for reviews. This is basically a continuation of a discussion that started a while back, I think October 2017, in view of having a standard setup of operating procedures for reviews. The council provided input on that initial public comment, so it may be worth considering whether the council would want to review this latest version to determine if how its input has been considered in this updated draft, as well as any other input it may want to provide. The deadline for the public comment period is 11th of February. So if there are people interested in working on that, it may be helpful to identify those now so that a draft comment or proposed comment can maybe be developed over the course of January and hopefully finalized by the end of January's council meeting. So I just wanted to flag that for you.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Marika. So, yes, I think that's one that we'll definitely want to pull together a group to start focusing on. So, any other business? Okay. Marika, I think that's an old hand. Let me know if it's not. And so, all right, well, let me take this opportunity to thank all of you for the work that we've done over the last couple of months as the incoming 2018-2019 GNSO Council. I look forward to working with all of you in the new year. And so have a very happy holiday season, a safe and happy new year. And we will reconvene on the list, of course, and then in Los Angeles after the new year. So thanks to you all, and let's go ahead and conclude the call.
Thank you very much,
thanks,
everybody.
Bye, everyone.
Stop the recordings. This is John's today's call.
Bye-bye.